Okay, I've got a question. What do a set of legitimate 80s superstars, a soap opera primetime reboot, and a spontaneous food fight have in common?
Well, somehow, believe it or not, they are all key plot points in 2023's Ladies of the 80s, colon, A Divas Christmas. We've got a lot to talk about, Josh.
We certainly do, Jennifer. We'll unwrap it all on this episode of Do You Watch What I Watch? If you've been with us for any period of time, you know we love an ensemble cast, and boy, boy, do we have a doozy of an ensemble cast on this one, Jennifer.
We certainly do, but first things first, if you're listening or watching, you are part of our ensemble. We want to have you as part of our family, so connect with us on social media, send us an email, drop us a note, tell us what you're watching, what we should be watching, leave us a 5-star rating review. We love those. You can find everything you need to know to connect with us at dowatchwhatiwatch.com.
Beautiful. So let's get started. Here's the plot summary for Ladies of the 80s. This one just came out on Lifetime TV. You know, they are sort of ancillarily in this Christmas TV game. And so this was their big one. And we drafted it. And it was recommended to us by listener Tom. So here we go. The plot summary direct from IMDb reads as follows. Five internationally known glamorous 80s soap opera stars reunite to share the spotlight and shoot their final Christmas episode of their long-running soap opera. The ladies wind up playing Cupid to the young director and producer, and romance blooms. Let's go. So we open to a very beep-boppy Christmas tune in where else? California, and we get our opening credits, and it's very clear to me that because all of these women are legitimately divas, Jennifer, that they have done billing in alphabetical order. So let's recap here. It is Lonnie Anderson, Morgan Fairchild, Linda Gray, Donna Mills, and Nicolette Sheridan. How many of these five women have you heard of before you had to watch this one, Jennifer?
I've heard of all of them. I will be honest, I haven't seen much of any of their work, though. I know Nicolette Sheridan was in Desperate Housewives, right? Which I never watched, but I knew her more probably from that. And Donna Mills, let me double check. I'm pretty sure Donna Mills plays the mom in one of my favorite Hallmark Christmas movies. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Should have looked this up earlier. She's been in a lot of movies, my goodness.
She has.
Hold on. Yes, she was the mom in 12 Gifts of Christmas, a classic in Mouse. So I'm sure that's not what she's known for across the board, but that's what I know her for. How about you?
There you go. I've heard of all of these. You know, my mom was a big fan of a soap opera in the 80s. So I saw a lot of these women on these sort of very dramatic shows. Lonnie Anderson, obviously a big star of the 80s. So I was familiar with all of them, but obviously they are playing to a generational card with this one over at Lifetime. So let's see what happens with this. We are on the scene of a Hollywood production. We see a really, really frazzled producer. His name is Alex. A Bobo Entertainment Tonight gives us the whole premise for the show here. The case of a famed soap opera, The Great Lakes, is reuniting for a special live Christmas episode. So we wind up getting a vintage slap sequence that literally makes me LOL, where they've got these women gussied up like they're in the 80s and they're slapping each other. It's pretty funny. So the stepmother of the cast, Morgan Fairchild, playing Margot, is getting a pep talk from her publicist, question mark. She has a secret that she hopes isn't fodder for gossip on the set, so stay tuned for her backstory. Dana, Donna Mills here, is also nervous, and Bobo FaceTiming with her daughter on the way to the set. She has drama with Juliet, played by Nicolette Sheridan, who is now a big business lady and feels rejected by Dana. So, a coffee truck arrives on set, and the barista, Nell, apparently has history with our producer, but turns out she's actually not a barista, and they are pretty flirty from go. She is the director he hired for the show. And I'm kind of like, okay, what's going on with this coffee truck that showed up on set? It was an odd choice for me.
Because he acted surprised to see her.
Yes.
So I thought it was just a mighty coinky dink that she was also the coffee truck girl and they knew each other from back in the day. But he hired, it did not make sense to me. So also, she remembers how many years, months, days since she's seen this guy. And yikes, if that's supposed to be charming, I'm not charmed. I had the ick, as the kids like to say.
Indeed. She is really into him, so much so that she checks out his assets, and we literally get a tight shot. She has an idea for using a star to represent the five ladies reuniting, and this is just cheesy on top of cheesy. Lily, played by Lonnie Anderson, is there, and she's fresh off something like Celebrity Survivor or something.
Yeah. She looked great.
Looking great. And she shows up with an entourage and trunks on trunks on trunks of fashion. So it's very clear what her character is. Linda Gray, as Lauren, is sneaking fast food despite her high-profile, natural vegan lifestyle. Dana shows up to set. Turns out Alex played her son on the show. So Alex is connected to this show. Now he's the producer for this reunion special. And I really appreciate that they tried to make these characters' names kind of referential to what these actresses' real names really were. I thought that
yeah,
was
that's
very
true. I hadn't
handy.
Caught that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very handy to keep tabs on who's who in this one. So the ladies immediately pick up on the romantic tension between Alex and Nell and tease the two of them. Ruh-roh, here comes a surprise. Juliet is there, and we get a warning from Margot. Fasten your facelifts, baby. It's going to be a bumpy weekend. Okay.
So when Nicolette Sheridan shows up, she's dressed up looking like David S. Pumpkins from that SNL skit. Like, she had this like black duster with these orange circles all over it, and it looked very Halloween-y. I do like that they've made these ladies all kind of like the Spice Girls. Like, they each have their own little like character thing about them. That made me laugh. But yeah, they're doing a Christmas morning live broadcast. That's why they're together.
Apparently so. Yeah. Anyway, Dana is not going to stand for it. She's not going to do it if Juliet's there. So she says, hasta la vista. And then she says the B word, which I won't say for the sake of maintaining our very clean podcast rating here.
Yeah, we don't want to get hit with an explicit because we covered ladies of the 80s. I refuse.
Not today. Anyway, we get early on that the cast is crumbling. The production is in trouble. The divas are despondent. There are a lot of last-minute cell phone convos happening here. Alex considers canning the whole thing and tries to smooth it over with Nell. Lauren gets the cast together. She has overheard that convo with Nell and manages to talk some sense into the rest of the divas for the sake of Alex's career, because, of course, he has ties to the show in the past. So they are in, of course, because we have to have something happen in this movie because we still have about an hour and 40 minutes to go. We get a photo shoot, Jennifer, to a ridiculous custom song made for this movie, I can only surmise, called, as you might expect, Ladies of the 80s. While we see the gals decorate cookies for the cameras, hang stockings, and Alex and Nell, they flirt a little bit and they wind up holding hands, except Alex a little bit later calls her buddy. So maybe not. Maybe
straight friend-zoned her. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, cut to Alex a little bit later. He is writing in his skivvies, as I guess most writers do, and he's really struggling with the concept in the script here, but we get the divas overacting what he's thinking in his brain, so it's kind of these cutaways that wind up being just a little bit funny to me.
Yeah, Marco, I wrote, why is he shirtless? Lifetime is so thirsty sometimes.
They are thirsty over there on Lifetime. Anything that they can do to have a guy shirtless over there. And
it made no sense to the plot. It was completely unnecessary. It's not like, oh, the AC went out, I'm hot. It's just, no, just going to write shirtless.
Yeah, he just has sub 15% body fat, so we might as well show it off. And referring back to the shot of his hind end a little bit previously, I thought that was a skosh egregious as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's not cute. Not a good look.
Not a good look. Anyway, Margot, again, Morgan Fairchild, she is sleeping naturally in full makeup and diamonds. And it turns out she actually can't sleep. She has a little bit of insomnia. So she hops downstairs where Lily happens to be awake. She admits that she's been intimidated by Margot for years and years and years, and the two wind up bonding. Well, here comes Juliet, and they reminisce about the snacks on set and sip some mulled wine. Here comes Lauren. She shows up with her sparkling water. And now here comes Dana. So all five of them are together in the middle of the night. And now there's a little bit of tension, and they decide they have to, as Daniel Tiger would say, find a way to play together. Anyway.
It all goes back to Daniel Tiger.
Everything. Nell is bummed about how things are with Alex, and the Divas are there as a group to really try to console and also counsel her. And then they decide to make her over. Uh-oh, here we go. They decide...
She didn't ask for this. This bothered me so much. Nell is, you know, a little marches to the beat of her own drum, had like pink streaks in her hair and like tennis shoes and baggy jeans or whatever. She was not very gussied up, which is fine, but the cure to getting this guy to fall in love with her is a makeover. Stop it. Girl, you don't need to change who you are for this dude. He can't even find his shirt.
Thank you. The girls, the Divas, I should say that she needs some Diva, which until this moment I didn't realize is actually an acronym. Did you know it was an acronym?
No.
Anyway, they state this like it's literally common knowledge, but apparently Diva stands for determination, integrity, vitality, and aspiration. D-I-V-A, Diva. What do you think about that, Jennifer?
I cringed it. The first time I remember hearing the term diva was VH1. Back in the day, it was a music channel, listeners, and they had the Divas special, and it was like Aretha Franklin, Mariah Carey, Shania Twain, who else? There were four or five of them, and they did it. Was Whitney one of them? Yeah. And it was an incredible music special that I would have tuned in for. But here we are with these divas.
Different sort of diva altogether. Yes.
Yeah.
Alex wants to meet with Nell to discuss what's happening with the production, but she's off getting her makeover with the Divas, which seems unlikely to me, given the tight schedule we heard early on in this movie. She finally saunters in, slow-mo, naturally, looking like $1 million, and suddenly a new woman, dare I say it, she's been divified. He's all awooga and literally stumbles over his words, then distracted... And she jets for her interview with Bobo Entertainment Tonight, which is odd to me that the director has to go interview with Bobo Entertainment Tonight. They sort of injected this subplot of this host from Entertainment Tonight that she might have an interest in. It was a little weird.
Yeah. And then the dude gets jealous, of course, because men can only be one note and like cavemen, you know, pretty girl, me jealous. And so he's like snapping at set people and like letting out his aggression because he's like torn that he doesn't know if he cares for her or not. Didn't like it. Didn't understand why we were supposed to like him. I'm sorry.
Not at all. We're at rehearsals for the live special, which includes a pretty funny stunt fall down a flight of stairs and a shirtless tryout for the houseboy role, after which I roll my eyes for like the 1 billionth time watching this thing. More rehearsals happen, but the script is... not working. It's a little off. And so Alex and Nell seem to be thawing their relationship, and it's very clear that they're going to work on trying to make this thing better. The Divas text late at night, and this was one of the weirdest bloopers in this entire movie. I don't know if you caught it, Jennifer, but we see these text bubbles pop up on screen, and instead of the characters' names, it's really the stars' names in the movie.
No.
Yes. So we see like Lonnie, Donna, Morgan, instead of their characters' names popping up on the text bubbles. And I thought, this is a really odd oversight for this not to have been caught.
Oh my gosh, no, I didn't notice that. I was too busy cringing because they were doing the text bubble thing, which we see a lot, and they're all laying in bed in their various like robes and full makeup and regalia, like you were saying. But they read it out loud too, so it's like, usually when we're seeing text bubbles, people don't read it as well, but Lifetime was like, let's make sure everybody knows what they're saying. Large font, And also, we're going to read it out loud. And according to you, also, we're going to have their real names on the screen. What?
It is bizarro. Bizarro.
That's unforgivable, if that's true.
It is unforgivable to me. Anyway, they go to Alex and they give him a heartfelt talking to. A bonkers rendition of 12 Days of Christmas alerts Nell to some hijinks between Alex and the divas. The mulled wine must have been very mulled or something. Mm-hmm. Lily catches Lauren eating what she shouldn't. Junk food. Gasp. And then Lauren reveals that her hair is actually gray. Ah. Gasp. But this is most certainly Lonnie Anderson wearing a terrible wig.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the choice.
But it just felt so bad. It's like, are we really in 2023 doing this bit where women can't eat junk food because that's terrible and women can't have gray hair because that's terrible too? I mean, it just felt very ugh to me.
Well, in the end, I guess what they were trying to say is, girl, you do you. It's okay to eat some junk food and it's okay to have your natural gray hair. But yeah, it's about 20 years too late. Like, universally, we've all kind of accepted that a long time ago.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, the gals swap gifts and their love for one another while piano music twinkles lightly. Then Dana, bonkers, reveals that she slept with Juliet's fiance years and years and years ago, and that's why she left New York from Los Angeles. And this is like the whole source of their rift in their relationship.
It's like the last 5 minutes of the movie. Like, what? It wasn't even an oopsie doodle. It was a hubba what?
Hubba what? Yeah, we need a new category. Not an oopsie doodle. It's a hubba what? Anyway, they wind up burying the hatchet, and it's supposed to be tender, but it feels a lot like we're watching a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
This show is bombing. Okay, we're doing the live show. It's Christmas. The show is bombing because it's too sweet and it's too boring and they're too bonded. They don't want a love fest. They want a B fest.
A B word fest.
B word fest. And so the divas pick up on that and they decide to give the people what they came for. And this winds up devolving into a rampant food fight. Like, how much, I'm wondering, sitting on my couch at home, how much did they have to pay Morgan Fairchild and Lonnie Anderson to really go all in on this food fight? Because they do go all in on this food
fight. They do.
Yeah.
They committed to it.
By the way, Jennifer, I don't know if you noticed, but for reasons completely unexplained, Margot, again, Morgan Fairchild, is now using crutches that have been gussied up for Christmas. Like,
yeah.
We didn't get any sort of scene where she fell or hurt herself. All of a sudden, she's just using crutches. It's just...
I thought I missed something. And I was like, okay, interesting choice. I hadn't noticed the crutches the rest of the movie.
It was...
Maybe her... you know what that is? Because she falls down... The character falls down the stairs in this live thing.
So maybe she's in the canon
of the script, she's acting and has the crutches. But I thought the same thing. I was like, when did she hurt herself? That's what it is. It was such a deep cut. It was so well done that we missed it. Our simpleton minds couldn't comprehend.
Yes, I don't know that there was really anything well done about this one, Jennifer, but still, nonetheless.
Yeah, that's why. That's why, yes. At least. Okay.
Yeah, so the food fight happens. Alex and Nell high five. And in my notes, I write, this thing is officially off the rails. It's just...
They're throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks.
Will it stick? Will it entertain? Anyway,
who cares? We don't know.
Apparently, the whole thing was a huge success. The divas say goodbye to Alex and tell her to go get her because obviously they know that now he has a shot with Nell. He wanders to her through this beautiful house in California, professes his love thanks to 1,000 luminaries that just happen to be set up for him to be able to do this, and a champagne toast that's been set up for two. And I'm wondering, like, is this The Bachelor? Like, what are we doing at this point? Anyway, he professes his love. They kind of quote Romeo and Juliet, and it's all just a choice.
Okay, listeners, it's time for a one-time limited series run of a special segment we like to call Tom's Takes, where Josh's buddy Tom, who suggested this movie, was very hyped about this movie, has sent in his thoughts. And I have not heard these yet. So Josh, hit me with them. What are Tom's takes?
So Tom was giving me a live text stream while he was watching this.
And so, sorry he couldn't be here tonight.
Well, I texted him a picture of the movie poster. I said, tonight's the night, my friend, eagerly awaiting your hot takes. And he writes back, oh no, I'm at dinner with my wife. Maybe I can watch it on delay. I said, for sure. Now put your phone down, enjoy dinner with your wife. So he did that. They had cocktails, they had dessert. And I get this text that he says, ready to judge the ladies of the 80s. This first thing that he says to me is, oof, bad plastic surgery alert. And then he says, okay, is most of this movie people talking on cell phones? Which I have to agree, there was a whole lot of cell phone talking happening in this particular movie. And then he says, there's an original Ladies of the 80s song put to a montage. Brilliant. And then he says, so Morgan Fairchild sleeps with a diamond necklace on? Okay. Which I
also thought. Well, later she clarified it's not real diamonds because she's poor. She's broke. She's one of her ex-husbands took all her money.
Yes.
So maybe the cubic zirconia doesn't weigh on your windpipe quite as much as a true diamond would.
Seriously. Diamondique.
It all makes sense. It all checks out. Yeah.
He noted the thing about the text bubbles. And then he says, my wife is not impressed. 2 out of 10. Oof.
Ooh.
Yeah. He then says, the gray hair is definitely another wig, referring to Lonnie Anderson's big reveal. So much Botox. We did check their ages while we were watching this. Turns out Linda is 83, Donna is 82, Lonnie is 78, Morgan is 73, and Nicolette, the baby of the cast, is 60 years old. So these are, in fact, women of advanced age, for sure.
Let me tell you, let me pray that I even live that long, first of all. And second of all, if I make it that long, I'll be getting some Botox, and I'll be trying to still get... capture my youth, so I don't fault him for that. I think for those ages, they look great.
Yeah.
And it was weird that Morgan Fairchild is, what, you said 73? Mm-hmm. And on the soap or the original series that they're in, she plays the mother to the rest of them.
Right.
And she's like 10 years younger than oldest in the cast.
10 years older.
Yeah.
Bizarro. Yeah.
So weird.
Tom did want us to know that Linda's husband in this movie, the blonde dude that we saw, was also an 80s star. He played in Blue Lagoon with Brooke Shields, which I thought was an interesting.
He was the guy from Dukes of Hazzard, but then I looked it up and he was not. So glad Tom came through with that.
Yes, okay. Tom coming through with the random tidbit. He noted the thing about the crutches. And then he said, you'll be giving out so many lumps of coal. Wait until the romantic confession. Ooh. And then he said, final verdict, cheesy line, bad makeup, mom younger than daughters. We rate it 2 parachute pants out of 10.
Oof. Oh, boy. And that was Tom's takes. Okay, it is time for our gold or coal segment where we each bring 3 gifts. If there's more gold, it's a star-studded sensation. That's hard for me to say 3 times fast. If there's more coal, it should have stayed in seclusion. And if it's a tie, which happens sometimes, it'll just be a meh, re Christmas. Josh, as soon as I watch this movie, we don't talk about the movies until we are live on the pod, but I could not wait to hear your thoughts on this movie in particular. Please enlighten me with your
thoughts. Well, I will say I am going to give a piece of gold because I did like seeing all of these 5 women play together. Even if the script was not great, even if the premise was not great, it was nice to see all of them together. I feel like they probably enjoyed shooting this movie and that makes me happy. And there were legitimately, I thought, a few funny moments that made me LOL just a little bit. So a little bit of gold for me.
Yeah, I liked when they were hanging out, like when they were hanging out in the kitchen and then when they got drunk and sang the 12 Days of Christmas, I thought that was fun. So I will agree with that. But my first gift is Cole. I didn't care about any of these characters at all. They weren't well developed. They weren't fleshed out. They were cartoons at best.
Yeah. Cole. Yeah. Cole for me for my second gift. This plot is just full of holes. It is bonkers and not fun bonkers, just like bonkers, like doesn't make sense bonkers. And so you gotta just tighten it up in terms of the plot. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And this just didn't make any sense for me. So cool.
coming back with another piece of coal. Their delivery of the script, the dialogue was so bad. And I don't know, maybe it is above us. Maybe because they're pretending to be 80s soap stars who are kind of been out of the game and now they're getting back into it. Maybe they're such good actresses that they're making it bad in the movie, right? But I don't think so. It was bad. It was bad deliveries, bad dialogue, bad.
Yeah. And my last gift is going to be Cole. This is not at all a Christmas movie. This is not nothing. I mean, you can't put this story and just put some fake snow on the ground in California and call it a Christmas movie. It's a Diva's Christmas, and there's nothing Christmassy about this thing. It's just...
Well, now, one of them did drink her tea, and then when somebody else, when Nicolette Sheridan's character showed up, she was so shocked, she dumped the tea in a poinsettia and said, I'm going to need something stronger. So, what more Christmas, do you need than that?
Must be Christmas time. Yeah, no. Pass.
I will also give some more coal. Listen, this is the worst Christmas movie I've ever seen in my life. And it's not even close. This was a waste of my time. Time is a currency, especially this time of year. There's never enough time to do all the things. And I spent 2 hours with commercials, so less than that, fast forwarding, on this movie. It was so wretched. It was wretched. It was awful. I can't believe you made me watch this movie. You and Tom got all excited about the ladies of the 80s, and here we are. I want my life back.
Add it to my bank account. Yikes. Yeah, so the final score on this one, one measly piece of gold and five pieces of coal. We are definitely saying this one should have stayed in seclusion. Jennifer, question for you. Could anything have salvaged this one for you?
This is like an SNL skit. It was so bad that I want them to be in on the bit. Like, I want them to know that it was bad and it was supposed to be funny and like almost like breaking fourth wall or like something. I don't know. I wanted something like that from it for them to acknowledge that it's bad. But I think somebody thinks it's good because they made it. They didn't lean into the bit if it was a bit. So, if it was an SNL skit or a mini clip on YouTube, I'm sure it would have done great. Where they just showed them having fun and being together. Give me that. Because that's what's in the previews. And that's not much of the movie. The rest of it is nonsense.
Nonsense.
Bad.
And it leaned way too heavily on this budding romance subplot.
Who cares? Nobody cares about them.
Nobody cares about them. It needed to be the five women just doing their thing. And I think you're right. If they would have leaned into the absurdity of it all and broken the fourth wall and gone full in on the cheesiness, it actually might have been good. But aside from that, it is just not good.
Or give me more diva moments. Make them more high maintenance. Make them really catty with one another. If we're doing that, let's go for it. But they weren't even really that much of divas.
Yes, there was a pool there. Why did no one push another one of these divas into the pool at some point? That could
pulling
have been
some
good.
Wigs off, something. Let's go bravo with it if we're going to do it.
Lean in.
Instead, we got this nonsense.
Well,
I'm mad.
I'm so sorry.
You owe me. And that, friends, is another episode of Do You Watch What I Watch? I hope you don't watch what we watch.
Special thanks to Nick Schwarz. And, of course, to listener Tom for suggesting this movie. But also to Nick Schwarz for our theme song. And, of course, to you for listening. Jennifer, you are so mad. I can't even handle it.
Tom is on the naughty list. I don't even know Tom. I never want to see him. Go away. But still subscribe. If you're like Tom and you do like our podcast, leave a review, subscribe, tell a friend. And we're on Facebook, Instagram. Give us a follow. We're on YouTube. Everything you need to know is at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com. Let me take a breath. Okay. I'm better now. I got to get some Christmas cheer for this next one. We're going to go back to the Hallmark Channel to recap and review Christmas with a Kiss. And here's the plot summary. A woman returns home to help with her family's Christmas carnival and romance ignites. A photojournalist curates a surprise reunion.
Huh?
Did we watch the same movie? Anyways, we will have much to discuss. But until then,
may your days be merry and bright. We will see you next time, divas.